Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
2 weeks, and really for one basketball team in the city, it could be the last 5 years or so. But we've talked about scoring droughts and how they turn games you think you're going to win into games you lose. The Cougs suffer from that. The Rockets certainly in fourth quarters have done that. It's nice when you switch it up. It's nice being on the other side of one of those. They go from down 19 points in the third quarter to leading. And eventually winning, thanks to Reed Sheppard and Kevin Durant. A 21-0 run by the Rockets in that third quarter in the game where they look like they're on the second night of a back-to-back. They look dead in the water. Now, they have an opponent coming up in a couple of days where I would say, hey, if you spend a couple of days in this city, you might have dead legs. And we'll see how they react to a couple of days off in Miami. But they look like a team who flew in. We're playing against a team who had the extra day of rest. I believe Orlando did. And this was going to go the way of, okay, we chalk it up to the schedule. You played last night. You have a relatively early start in Orlando. Let's pack it up. We got a couple of days off, and then we'll head off to Miami and see if we can get some get back against another Florida team. Instead, Reed Sheppard and Kevin Durant combined to pull the Rockets out of a tailspin, and they beat an Orlando team who has just as much trouble scoring as the Rockets do sometimes, 113 to 108. So Kevin Durant set some marks, and because of the discourse here, the conversation generally goes to Reed Sheppard, the guy who doesn't play as much as we like, the top pick. When is Ime going to play him? Look at what happens when he plays well. But Kevin Durant did score 40 points last night. He didn't shoot the ball well from three, but 10 of 10 from the line. Once again, the Rockets' best player. He plays the 40 minutes, scores the 40 points, and he sets some marks. So we will talk about Reed Sheppard, but I do want to make note of what Kevin Durant is doing. And now when you have, at this point, a living legend on your roster, you're going to be a part of some moments. He reached 32,000 points last night. He's a sixth player to do so. He became the oldest player in Rockets history to have a 40-plus point game. And he now is tied with Kobe Bryant for the fifth most 30-point games in NBA history. And as long as he's here, these moments are going to continue. Because if he's playing the way he's playing and he continues to stack the accolades up, the Rockets' PR is going to have a lot of releases about what Kevin Durant has accomplished. The numbers I just read came directly from the NBA Twitter account, but 40 points brought his team back with the help of Reed Sheppard. and the Rockets get a nice win. So since the disappointing loss to the Knicks, they've won three in a row. This one the most impressive as far as the circumstances. On the road against a team who's fighting to stay out of the play-in, they get up on you. They were at their best selves defensively. Alperen Şengün had a tough early stretch of that game. And the offense looked as bad as it ever does, or as bad as it ever did this season. And then, like, I don't know what you want to call it, out of nowhere, you inject Reed Sheppard into this, and they find a way. Now, I wrote something on the, and credit to Reed for knocking down a couple big shots late, certainly to including the dagger to put the game away when the Rockets were trying to hold off the Magic. I wrote something on our rundown about, have we done this Reed Sheppard conversation before? It feels familiar to me. Not the Reed Sheppard part of it, but talking about a Rockets guard and living and dying with each game as some referendum on what he is as a player. And the last time we did this, I said, hey, can just let the 82 games decide. We have 82 games, and we mark guys and their successes by seasons for a reason. It's a long enough sample size to go, hey, this was a good season or this was a bad season. I'm getting like Jalen Green vibes from these conversations, where every time it goes one way, the narrative shifts away. And then if Jalen Green had a great performance, or even with Jalen Green's case, a great month, it was. Is this the time that Jalen Green turns it around and becomes a player that his draft status suggests he should be? I've done it for the better part of 3 years, and the best part of Kevin Durant being here is Kevin Durant. The second best part is no more Jalen Green conversations fluctuating between, look at the month of March he had versus he was pretty stinky over the course of other months, and it all combines into a Jalen Green season that's pretty similar to all the other Jalen Green seasons after we look at the 82 game sample size. And I say 82 because he played all the time.
Yeah, it was funny that all Jalen Green seasons kind of just look the same like when you just zoom out long enough, it's like, oh yeah, this is all just the same. And the difference with Reed Sheppard is just that there's fluctuation in how much he plays,
yeah,
and like the play time and what he's doing out there while he's out there, where Jalen Green just the entire time he was here, it was just, all right, give him the ball. Go score.
Yeah, we knew Jalen Green was going to play. Now, there were moments...
Like, the role was defined.
Yeah. Now, there are moments late in the game, because Ime Udoka would do this, where if you're not playing well, maybe you don't close. But we knew, as long as he was healthy, he was going to start, and he was going to get a chance to play his 30 minutes a night or so, unless he was in the middle of a disaster like tour date, as opposed to just a regular old tour date type of performance. Reed Sheppard's different. We talked about it. His play time seems very... very dependent on how he starts. Now, the Rockets were desperate for scoring. They were down. They really didn't have any answers. So, at that point, you're down 19, middle of third quarter. Play the shooter and see what he can do. And he helped with the comeback. I don't know that I want to do this thing every time he plays poorly or well. Can we allow the 82 games? I know the nature of this job is to go, hey, look. And we talk about the games when they come. Hey, look. He played well against the Magic, and he played well against the Kings. He may need to play Reed Sheppard all the time. He may just need to play Reed Sheppard all the time anyway. But I don't know that I'm going to allow good performances or bad performances, depending on the night, to go, you know what? All right. The coach's views on Reed are wrong, or they're right. Because what's Reed Sheppard's future? I don't know. But I would allow for an entire season in a second year to maybe have more of an impact on how I feel about him as a player than a Thursday night in Orlando or a Wednesday night in Houston. The two last performances were good. They're promising. But I've seen this from a score-first guard before, and as I said, it all averaged out to be, okay, it was fine. Jalen Green's season was fine. And I thought I was done with this. I'm not, because Reed Sheppard is a giant talking point. And it's mostly because people would just left E-Made and just roll him out there all the time, like you pointed out.
Yeah, it's just like give him the shot.
Yeah, give him the Jalen Green leash and see what happens.
And that's the one of the big differences that like when Jalen Green, you know, when he was in year two, it was just 20 and 62. It was just like, yeah, who cares? Just let the kids play and, you know, have some Christian Wood and KPJ shenanigans happening in the background. But for the most part, it's just like, yeah, just a bunch of 20-year-olds kind of figuring out they lose every night. Who cares? Where Reed Shepard has to navigate like, oh, no, we actually like are in a tight Western Conference playoff race. And I have a coach who actually wants to win every night or, you know, is solely focused on
not your development from night to night.
Yeah. Can we win every night? Then, yeah, like, well, you know, we just got to get these guys involved, see what they can do. There's not a lot of see what Reed Shepard can do outside of, you know, when they play the Jazz or Kings. That's when they can, you know, mess around a little bit. But for the most part, you know, the first 60 games of the season, it was a lot of just putting out there, putting who he thinks can win out there. And I think the closing, I mean, Stan Van Gundy was basically Reed Shepard's agent out there. and he was laying out there. It's like, yeah, put Shingun around four guys who can shoot the three. And like, it all kind of opens up. It's very much like he wanted to go. And I thought of this with Dwight Howard back in 2009.
We made the finals doing this.
I thought about this 18 years ago. What are we doing?
Spread the floor. Allow your big to be a centerpiece and go to work. One correction for me. They play the Heat on Saturday. So just the one day off. And the Heat played last night in Philly and lost close and late to the Sixers.
Reed Shepard, go get a bottle at the club tonight. You deserve Wait, is he 21?
I believe so.
Okay.
So while the Rockets, we have talked about their struggles in the fourth quarter. They have some big blown leads, losing the teams they shouldn't lose to. While they're not exactly in dire straits, they're going to go up against a team who, if you lead this team going to the fourth quarter, you're almost guaranteed to win. The Heat are 1-23 when trailing going to the fourth quarter. That I did not know that. That came across the timeline as on the ESPN bottom line. Excuse me. The stat was 1-23 when trailing after three.
Okay.
They're bad. I knew they were bad in the clutch. I did not know if they're trailing going to the fourth quarter, they've got no shot. I think they've now lost 29 games, 31-29. So of course they've lost games when leading going into the fourth quarter too, six of them. But 1-23.
That's really something.
Like there's a that's remarkable. Really, if that stat is right on the bottom line, that's remarkable to be that bad and have no shot if you're trailing. And, you know, it's not all the time they're down by double digits. It could be a five, it could be four. Yeah. They still can't find a way.
Any lead.
Any lead of any one.
If the Rockets are up in the, at the end of the third quarter, turn it off.
Turn it off. Unless the Rockets are victim number two.
Hey, watch this.
Yeah, we'll see how the Rockets and both teams respond.
Last Saturday, we were up big, too.
Yeah.
Watch this.
Yeah. Oh, you think we can't? This will be another prime game.
Yakashonis, want to be Jalen Brunson for the night?
We'll see. It is a prime game at 2:30, so it's an interesting start time and interesting network. Yeah, no bottle. If that was your plan, you got an early start on Saturday, so maybe hold off.
That sucks. They have to play at 2:30. Miami.
For those guys being in Miami?
Yeah. I want Josh Okogie to let loose.
The question is, does it stop them? Some Rockets teams are wouldn't have stopped them.
I was going to say, historically,
it is Miami.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure the Rockets did win a game in Miami during the James Harden era. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
And if they did, it wasn't because James Harden played well. So, I think this is a new era. I would like to think that this is just a different vibe we got going on. We got Kevin Durant instead of James Harden, who's, you know, doing jumpers on the club. So I think if anything they'll be ready to play. I don't know. Do they have like, I don't know, is there like a Turkish contingent in Miami?
I don't know. I know that, when Luka showed up, because it was already built in because Goran Dragic was Slovenian as well. They made it Slovenian night, and a lot of I don't know if it's Slovenian's the correct way to put that. They all came out to watch those two guys play. I don't know if it works that way because the Heat don't have a legacy Turkish player.
Or if he just like, hey, I want to hit up the Turkish clubs tonight, you know, where it's like, hey, I finally get to be with my people.
I don't know.
Up until 4 a.m. and then, got to play it. Whatever.
Let's hope for their sake that they got into Miami early this morning. Spend the day doing whatever you want, but get in at a reasonable time because you got a game mid-afternoon.
Yeah, maybe play golf or something.
That's what you want to do?
Yeah.
Either way, on Prime, 2:30, the Rockets try to what would be their fourth win in a row. Meanwhile, the Spurs are in the middle of an 11-game winning streak. So
yeah, two seed.
Probably not something you're going to be able to chase down. But the three seed would be nice because as it stands now, you're situated to play a disaster of a Lakers team.
And we talked about it on Rock of Power, which you can hear on ESPN 97.5 at 6 o'clock tonight or at YouTube, whenever. That there, as it stands right now, I don't think it changed last night. You really got the three of the most, I'd say, decorated Western Conference teams in the playoffs. They're all on the other side of the bracket right now. It's the Thunder as the one seed, although if the Spurs never lose again, the Spurs might be the one seed. And you got the 4-5 would be Nuggets and Timberwolves. That is, the last...
They've played each other
the last couple times? I guess other than the Mavericks in 24, that's all the finals teams and Western Conference finals teams of the last 3 years in the West, all on one side of the bracket. You got the Spurs who... most of their players have never played a playoff game. Their veteran piece that they added, De'Aaron Fox, has played 7 playoff games, same amount as Alperen Şengün and all the young Rockets.
And Harrison Barnes' minutes decrease, but he is the other long-standing guy who's played a lot of playoff games.
So the young teams are going to be on one side. You got three of the four. If I had to pick teams to come out of the West, it would probably be those three teams, but they're all going to be on one side of the bracket. So obviously, I mean, the Rockets are up like a half game on the Nuggets, so subject to change, but they are in a good spot. And like we said, talking about their schedule, the travel and the off days are tough, but the who you're playing is pretty nice. I know the Nuggets have a stretch the next 10 games, 9 playoff teams and 3 back-to-backs in the next 10 games. So hopefully you can get some breathing room over the next, couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see how things go with teams behind them. But at this point, it could be I would probably imagine the Nuggets don't fall to 6, but it could be any one of the Wolves, Lakers, or Suns. The Suns beat the Lakers in L.A. last night.
Yeah.
The Lakers continue to play poorly. So the Suns, despite Devin Booker and Dylan Brooks dealing with injuries, aren't completely out of avoiding the play-in mix. And Suns versus Rockets would be fun because of all the ties. We know Kevin Durant was the last time he played the Suns. He knocked down a big shot and pretty much told him, get out of here. He did the whole thumb, get out of here thing.
Beat it.
We'll see if Devin Booker and Dylan Brooks are ready to go by that time. And then it'll be Jalen Green.
Yeah. And triumphant return.
We'll see. Well, sure. If you go by how he's played, you can call it triumphant.
It's a return.
It's a return.
It's a return.
Yeah, Maybe he'll pick it up by the time a playoff series rolls around. But he actually hasn't been very triumphant as he now takes on the scoring burden with those two guys. In and out of the lineup.
According to Roosh Williams last night, Kevin Durant against the Magic, 40 points, 14 of 28 shooting. Jalen Green, last 3 games combined, 42 points, 17 for 60.
It was 4 of 15 and 1 of 7 from 3 last night. 9 points.
You know what I see?
Winner?
W.
Yeah, they beat the Lakers last night.
The only stat I care about when I play poorly and my team wins.
You certainly highlight the fact that it's a team game.
If I'm Tari Eason, I'm saying the same thing. Hey, dub. All right. Sorry. I actually don't know how Tari Eason responded. I just saw at halftime he was like 0-for-4.
Sure, he'd blame the referees. We know he has that in his bag. Yeah, I'm looking at Jalen Green. He's only played the 12 games. He's been injured pretty much the entire year. The field goal percentage is right around 36% from the field in 12 games. Hey, He's in and out of the lineup. He's working his way back.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll give him some grace.
Chalking it up to a lost year.
Yeah, the Suns fans, not so grace. Not so full of graceful. Grace. Not so full of grace for Jalen Green right now.
Yeah, the KD trade looks effed up now that Dylan Brooks doesn't play.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks ain't playing, and was it Malawak?
Yeah, but he doesn't play much either.
Yeah, so now it's just Jalen Green out there putting up tour dates night after night. But because the Lakers are such a mess, they did get a win last night.
That's one where the six matchup, like you, I don't really think that the Nuggets will fall all the way out or the T-Wolves will fall all the way out, mostly because we're talking about the Suns and
the
Lakers,
yeah.
Don't really have a preference. They both seem pretty touches.
Pretty gettable, certainly. Yeah. So if it comes down to it and the Spurs or the Thunder fall apart and the Rockets do climb within striking distance, let's just stay in striking distance and not overtake them. Particularly if the matchup could be Suns or Lakers. You know what? That two-seed stuff, not that important.
You know what? Right now, we're going to start thinking about maybe Kevin Durant doesn't have to play 40 minutes every night.
Yeah, you know.
Now.
Just consider it, Ime. I'm not telling you what to do, but maybe a little consideration for the matchup that could be.
Let's just ease into the playoffs. The two-seed would be great.
Sure, you would have home court in the second round. Yeah. That would be great.
Two-seed, three-seed. I mean, one, you're going to get play. Like, actually, you might be Portland.
You've had your issues.
Yeah, don't want that.
Zebras. That's where that quote comes from.
That's the origination, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll go to break with that. Rockets get a nice win. We'll hear from Kevin Durant on his landmark night. He breaks 32,000 points, plays 40 minutes. We'll hear from him reflecting on what he's done so far in his career. And we'll hear from a certain former Clipper in regards to what Reed Sheppard can be for the Rockets as well. We'll do more Rocket stuff when we come back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
The voice you just heard is Michael Carroll. He'll join us at 11:30 or around there. He'll come with that. You can hear that on Wednesday nights here, as long as A&M basketball is not preempting it. And you can also hear it in podcast form. Wherever you listen to podcasts, he'll join us to give you some recs, maybe tell you what not to watch. So if you want to save your call for that, of course. But if you want to call in about anything not related to movies and television earlier, you can. 713-780-3776. Let's get to Kevin Durant after the game. He was with Cassidy Hubbard, I believe. It was on the Prime broadcast. That's where the Rockets are playing, and they'll do that again on Saturday against Miami. Here's Kevin Durant reflecting on what he has accomplished so far.
And your 40 points helped move you to being the sixth player in NBA history to reach the 32,000-point mark, joining LeBron, Kareem, Malone, Kobe, and Jordan. How do you process that type of longevity and consistency? I see the smile.
I mean, just to be mentioned in the same category as some of the greatest athletes of all time, not just basketball players, greatest athletes of all time, I'm just honored and blessed and grateful for all the people that invested in me along the way and teammates, coaches, family members, friends. Man, it's been a long journey, and I'm looking forward to keeping it going, but it's pretty cool.
Kevin Durant, after the game, 40 points last night in 40 minutes along with Reed Sheppard helping the Rockets in a big comeback. I don't know if I've seen it, if that's their biggest comeback of the year, down 19 points. Certainly their most dramatic, if you included being in the second half, midway through the third quarter for them to fight back and win a game against a team who's actually trying. So, nice win for them. Three in a row. And they got Miami on Saturday afternoon. So, while I saw the Kevin Durant thing as a big story, I get it. Reed Sheppard, people believe he can unlock what the Rockets are. If only the dopey coach would play him more. If only Ime Udoka would simply figure out that everyone else is right and he's wrong and play Reed Sheppard. Well, someone who may agree with you if you have that sentiment is Blake Griffin. He's on the Prime broadcast too. And after last night, it's a good position to have to talk about Reed Sheppard and what he can do to unlock the offense. Here's Here's Blake Griffin on Reed Sheppard and what he can be for the Rockets.
But what he does for them on the offensive end, I mean, you saw how much easier their offense flowed, especially down the stretch in the third quarter, the fourth quarter. I mean, you have to know where he is at all times, and that's something they've sort of been missing. So I'm a big proponent of playing Reed Sheppard in these stretches. It makes the game easier for them, and it also makes the game easier for a guy like KD and Şengün.
This is going to be – that game in particular is a big positive for the Reed Sheppard narrative. I think the Rockets scored 43 points in the first half of that game, two low 20 quarters, and then they come into the second half struggling. And when he enters, they wind up, they score 70 points total in the second half?
Something like that.
I think they had a 38-point quarter and a 32-point quarter.
I saw something where the 21-point run, every bucket was either scored or assisted by
Reed Sheppard or...
Yeah, Sheppard or Durant.
The one bucket not scored by them, I believe, was a Clint Capela bucket that was assisted by one of them.
Yeah, that was a dunk. Yeah.
Yeah, so they took control of that game offensively, and 38-point third quarter, 32-point fourth quarter, and I mentioned the first segment, Reed Sheppard knocked down some shots late as well to give them their margin of victory. So
it is an easy position post-game to be like,
I mean,
hey, play him.
Yeah, the narrative is he should play more. He goes out there and does what he did along with KD in a game where they were struggling mightily offensively. Now's the time to lean in.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it continues. I went on my thing in the first segment. I don't want to do the referendum every day.
We'll talk about it for 45 minutes on Monday, whether it continued or not, and what it means for the Rockets.
Actually, I'm putting a marker down right now. We won't unless you drive it that way. But I refuse.
He will not be the focal point of our Rockets coverage unless he breaks an NBA record.
Yeah, if he does something remarkable, if he's just a contributor to a win, and the Rockets look good when he's on the floor, I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
it's enough. We got the end of the year and then the playoffs to discuss what his year was like.
How about this, Kevin Durant? He can pass Michael Jordan in all-time NBA scoring if he scores 286 points on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Also, 286 points, throughout the rest of the season would also get him there. But
yeah, he doesn't have to do it all in one Miami afternoon.
No. But if he stays healthy, plays, most of the games for the rest of the season and plays at his level, like, he should enter the top five of NBA scoring pretty easily the last month of the season.
If the plan is, and it comes to fruition, that he retires as a Rocket, we're gonna have a lot of these type of moments.
Yeah, he'll,
with him in that uniform,
he might catch Malone for third all time, 3690,
and I'm sure there
36900.
I'm sure there are going to be some age things he accomplishes.
Oh yeah, I mean, they had the 30-point game stat where he tied Kobe last night with 30-point games when he scored 40. There'll be some, like you said, like oldest player to XYZ.
There'll be a lot of that stuff. So Kevin Durant still at the top of his game as far as putting the ball in the bucket. There's some slippage. He's not going to blow by everyone. Who did he blow by, and then he got blocked at the rim by someone?
I know Wagner gave him a little bit of trouble in the first half.
That thought popped in my head. It was Wagner and the Magic were comfortable putting bigs on him. Five, 6 years ago, you're not putting a big of Wagner's category.
Mo Wagner.
Not even Franz. Stole a ball from him because he could stay in front of him. He's not blowing by guys anymore. I noticed that he did. I think he got challenged at the rim, and it got blocked. So he can still score the bucket, but, of course, age does get to everyone, particularly in that sport. But he's still certainly an MVP candidate, likely won't win it. But I would say a top 10 player, at least offensively this year, certainly.
All-NBA second team, maybe all-NBA first team.
That should be
– kind of depends on
– That should be in the cards for him.
To quote Kevin Durant, who the bleep I am? I'm Kevin Durant.
And speaking
that is the most succinct way of last night, I know who that guy is.
And sticking with that line of thinking, Anthony Edwards had some thoughts for his own coach. The Wolves are in L.A. playing a game against the Clippers. A tight one. Not a lot of offense, particularly in the first half.
No, I'm glad that I saw the highlights this morning and didn't stay up to watch it.
Yeah.
He makes the shot, but the score is like 92-88.
It felt like very early to mid-90s NBA basketball. And so he takes a contested shot. He misses it. And Chris Finch, I guess, told him, pass the basketball.
Yeah.
He comes down again, takes another, maybe arguably a tougher shot.
It's an impossible shot.
Knocks it down, looks at Chris Finch as he's going up the court, and goes, that's who the F I am.
Yeah, and then the Clippers call a timeout, and so he's just like in front of the T-Wolves bench as, you know, the coaches, when they do the thing where they walk out onto the court, and he's like following Finch like in his
ear. To let him know.
Just being like,
This is what I effing do. Don't tell me to pass. And then after the game, emotions had subsided.
Yeah.
People certainly noticed it, so he was asked about it. He goes, yeah, Chris is kind of right 98% of the time. He told me to pass. I didn't, and I knocked down the shot. So he did acknowledge that his head coach is generally right, most often right. But last night, he decided to go against his coach's wishes and then did knock down the shot.
Yeah.
The Wolves beat the Clippers in Los Angeles, and we talked about potential matchups. While Kevin Durant, great, I don't want to see the Wolves. I don't want to see Anthony Edwards in an early playoff series if I can make a choice.
I mean, I don't want to see Edwards. I don't really want to see Jokic. I really don't want to see Wembanyama.
None of it.
But the Wolves are, like, I don't think the Wolves get enough credit for, they have made back-to-back Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
And they have, like, performed reasonably well in both of them. I really, like, in the playoffs, this dude and, I mean, the entire team, really, but it you know, Ant's the tip of the spear. You don't want to mess with them, especially in an early round matchup. Like, because I don't think, has he lost in the, maybe, like, they made the playoffs
once
as an 8 seed.
Was he on that team when Patrick Beverley was celebrating the play-in victory? Was that a year he was on the team?
That was probably the earliest they lost. I don't know if they've lost like in the first round in a 7-game series
since they started making the playoffs. Yeah.
So just don't. No thanks. You got that one.
Particularly when despite Reed Shepard's recent performances, I still have questions about that Rockets backcourt. They would be at a distinct disadvantage with him on the other side.
I don't love it. Yeah. I just don't love it.
Yeah, and then you piss him off and he actually wants to guard. You got that too. You got all of it.
Although Amin Thompson versus Anthony Edwards
would be fun.
Part of me is the Ken Watanabe from Godzilla.
Let them fight. Let them fight, yes.
Maybe you need to evacuate the arena, but I would
possibly, yes.
I would like to see those guys
the
go
level
at it.
Of energy. The level,
athleticism,
the talking,
the dunk.
Well, at least from Anthony Edwards, I don't know how much Amin will talk. But
the dunk that Ant had in the first quarter of that game was just like, he was like favoring his forearm because he hit his forearm so hard on the rim on that dunk that he like was like rubbing it and like the trainers were looking at it. I thought he broke his arm.
Yeah, we're having a conversation this morning because we play some sound from D'Amico Ryans. We'll play it again about CJ Stroud, and it almost feels like Texans people, when they talk about CJ Stroud, they lead with how good of a guy he is. And as a person who understands that, sure, you don't want a bad guy on your team, but on game days, you're not really thinking about that if he's struggling. You know who never gets, no one ever leads with, hey, he's such a great guy? Anthony Edwards. No, that's not the prevailing thought.
Yeah, and he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
It's just,
there are some things, but yeah, he's not the worst guy. But no one throws that into the conversation about him when they're talking about him as a player.
No. Same thing with Jokic, same thing with Shea. Like they are those guys.
I'm sure they're
pretty spotless off the court.
Yeah,
record.
Shea and Jokic, just there's nothing negative to be
we
said
don't
about
talk about it.
But we don't talk about it
because else to praise them.
They're
on.
Too good. It would take too long to do the superlatives before you got to it. And it just makes me a little wary that it's always, and CJ's such a great guy.
He
you know what? I'm sure he is, but I don't need it to be in the top four things you mention every time you talk about him, honestly. We'll hear from D'Amico.
Patrick Mahomes, what do you think about him? Well, he's a great guy.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Also.
But it's never something that Andy Reid, I don't ever hear him talk about it.
Also, until this past season, if you had him on your team, you were making the AFC title game at worst.
Yeah, and as I said, on game days, CJ was a great guy when he was throwing the four picks, and people were still wanted his ass out of there and weren't being very nice about it.
He was
calling
generous.
Davis Mills.
He was generous.
Well, I guess you can say. He was giving out gifts to the Patriots and others. Marcus Jones, he was very generous
Marcus
with.
Marcus Jones got one
H-town. Yeah, shout out. So we'll go to break with that, and we'll hear from D'Amico on his great guy quarterback and also what he believes his team needs to improve on. But before we do that, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. I can actually say, at least from the times I spent with the people at Monument Chevrolet, great guys, but it's not the first thing I'll mention because you care about the car. Of course, you don't want to be treated poorly, and they won't do that, but you care about the car and the deal that you're going to get from Monument Chevrolet. So check out all the vehicles at monumentchevrolet.com. Find the truck, SUV, car, EV vehicle you want, and then make your choice, and then head out to Pasadena. They're off of Bellway 8 and 225. Ask for Jeff. He is their point person. He is their general manager. If you got any questions, Jeff's the guy to answer them for you. And then once you're ready to find the car that you're going to love, you're going to deal with the salespeople. And they follow Jeff's lead as far as how they treat you. They're going to go at your pace. No rushing, but also they're not going to keep you around forever if you don't want to be and you have a vehicle in mind that you want. And you have that price in mind because you've already gone to the website. They'll get you into that vehicle and make sure you drive off the lot very, very happy. That's what they're about at Monument Chevrolet. If you've been in business for over 50 years, you'd be about it too. Because you can't stay in business that long without treating the customer the right way. So that's what they're about. Take advantage of it at Monument Chevrolet. First, go to monumentchevrolet.com. Find the vehicle. Head on out there. Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. Get a great car. Deal with great people. That's Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Big story out at the combine is something we discussed yesterday, the arm length of Reuben Bain. People are taking note because everyone knew that would be a thing, but now if they see it in comparison to other pass rushers historically, they're like, oof, I don't know if I can get over this. Everyone knew his arms were going to be short. Then they find out they're under 31 inches, and now everyone is very concerned because historically you don't find great pass rushers with that arm length. Melvin Ingram is the closest, and of course he was a good player. Was he a first rounder? But he wasn't taken in like the top 15, which is where Reuben Bain is projected by some.
I did see NFL writer, or I guess podcaster now, Kevin Clark, also Miami Canes propagandist.
Yep.
He noted something that different teams actually got different measurements because they all do that. And on at least a couple teams, he had 31.
He had 31, yeah. Melvin Ingram was the 18th pick overall, so a first rounder.
Okay.
And it turns out, I think Schefter tweeted something similar to what Kevin Clark said, that after the combine last year, guys had their pro day and their arms were longer than they were at the combine, but generally teams stick with the combine. So we'll see if the teams who really need a pass rusher find a way to lengthen Reuben Bain's arm length when they do the measurement.
Yeah, I think with Bain, I don't even think we're talking 18th pick Melvin Ingram. I think we're talking about like he goes from top five-ish kind of
maybe
pick.
The Jets say, okay, we can't take him as the top pass rusher.
Yeah, he goes to like 7 or 8. You know, like it's just like he drops a little bit, but not much. Honestly, it could be, you know, the best thing that ever happened for one of these teams where it's like, oh, the decision got taken out of our hands because Arvell Reese, you know, just more prototypical Sonny Styles, although there's some positional stuff where I don't think he's actually going to be an edge, or I don't know. Different teams probably view him differently, but there's a little bit of like, okay, those guys kind of get the tiebreaker on Bane, but ultimately we're still talking about a top 10 guy.
Yeah. Reuben Bane's arm length is Laramie Tunsil's bong mask as far as dropping him in the draft, just for completely
different
reasons.
Would you rather?
Well, Laramie Tunsil's been just fine.
What would be better for Reuben Bane's draft stock? Having 32-inch arms, but bong mask drops?
And honestly,
on whatever, April 28th?
A team who needs a pass rusher is the same team who drafted Laramie Tunsil. And Reuben Bane, certainly from the Miami area.
True.
So while Keith still has his dreams, and maybe if Reuben Bane's arms were 29 inches, he really have a shot at him. But at just under 31, maybe he can't fall to the Ravens. So that's kind of the big story to come by. As far as more local interests, of course, we heard a lot from Nick Caserio this week. Well, D'Amico Ryans is speaking as well, and I'm sure, much like anyone who is around the Texans, the conversation will be about C.J. Stroud. And the Texans have done a good job, particularly Nick Caserio, of tamping down the conversation about C.J. and his status with the Texans. He has pretty much said consistently that if you ever even thought that we would trade him, you're pretty stupid. He called it moronic to start. He keeps telling everyone C.J.'s their quarterback. And that was even the prevailing opinion on this show. And we love to do dumb stuff. Even we thought that he wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm willing to say something moronic.
Yeah.
Just and yet, how I'm feeling.
Yeah, and yet we thought C.J. would be the quarterback. These are the quotes from D'Amico that I would prefer weren't at top of mind when he talks about his quarterback. Here's D'Amico Ryans on C.J. Stroud.
For me, our support has never changed for C.J. I support him. He knows I care about him. I love him. I told him that after the game. It's like, I know it was a low moment, but, man, I love you. I know you're going to bounce back, and he's already been in working out. He's already understanding what he has to do. He has to have a great offseason, and he's prepared for that. He's working that way. He has the right mindset. Great young man, talented young man. He is part of the reason why we've had the success we've had, you know, with the Texans over the past 3 years, and he'll continue to lead us in that regard. And he's the guy. He's done a lot of great things for us. I'm pleased with what he's done, and I know what he's capable of. Great leader, great young man, and he's a really great quarterback as well.
All right, let's talk about that defense.
Two great young men references in a matter of what, 45 seconds or so?
Yeah, just about.
You know what? And he led with it. After he talked about what he's doing to get better, although I love him, I told him that. Great young man. Into year three, or now into year four, your coach has to talk about how much he supports you is a problem in and of itself, because you would want your quarterback to play better. At least I would. I would like not to actually be a conversation piece where hey, D'Amico, how'd you talk to your quarterback after he had a historically bad playoff performance?
I told him I still love him.
Yeah, because it was that bad.
I had to be there for him as a human being.
This is not what I want. I understand they're human beings, and D'Amico has certainly let us know that we don't care enough about the players, and fine, he's probably right about that. I've talked about how at times we see these guys as avatars. Just go out, do things that make me happy. Don't really care about what you are as a human being, and that's not a great way to be a human being yourself, but we know the reality of the situation on Sundays and Saturdays and all the other days for the non-football sports. Go play well, and then I'll love you forever. If you play poorly, I want you out of my city. I'm calling for Davis Mills, and that's just how it's going to go. So I hope for season four, D'Amico doesn't have to talk about how great of a young man he is, because all the superlatives come from how great he is as a player. I'd like to get to that point. Hopefully C.J. gets there, but we're at a point where the intangibles of C.J. Stroud have to be part of the picture when we're talking about him.
And it's a balance of the intangibles. I would like the tangibles to be better.
Yes.
I want
the intangibles, which generally are pointed to as leading to the tangible stuff. I like more transference.
Yeah.
Intangible leads to better tangibles, so the intangibles get talked about less.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's in line with what the Texans have talked about so far this offseason, what they're going to talk about all offseason and into July and August when they're in at training camp. It's going to be, we believe in him. He's a great guy. And year two with Nick Caley.
Great young man.
Yeah. Another year in the system.
That didn't work out with Slowick, but okay.
Better system this time.
Based off of what?
John Carroll University.
Okay.
And the New England Patriots.
Got it.
Shout out to Striplinski.
You should have led with that. That would have kept me from rebutting anything.
but yeah, I don't know. The speculation, and we called it out in the moment, basically between the Patriots game and, I guess, when Nick Casario took the mic, any like Albert Breer or Todd McShay, just like,
thank you for saying. I couldn't remember talking, the first guy. Albert Breer was the first. I always
just noodling, I talking just out loud, thinking out loud of like, well, what if they do this? I think locally we all kind of batted it down of like, it's interesting to think about, but it's not going to happen.
Sure.
And yeah, these guys kind of slammed the door on it.
So I think we're done with that conversation.
Thank God.
Yeah.
More Reed Shepard talk.
What we'll do when we come back is talk about, well, we'll hear from DeMeco again when we come back because he talked about what they need to improve on. And then I'll give you one player that ESPN thinks would help the Texans improve quite a bit. The best fit for the Texans in free agency, if you want to ignore the actual cost of the player, sure. But we'll hear from DeMeco, then talk about places to improve the Texans, at least in the coach's eyes, when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.